Welcome to the meeting tonight. Thank you for coming. We're going to sing 360. Hymn 360. Eternity. Time soon will end. Its fleeting moments pass away. O sinner, say, where wilt thou spend eternity's unchanging day? Shalt thou the hopeless horror see of hell for all eternity? Verse 3 says, eternity, but Jesus died. Yes, Jesus died on Calvary. Behold him, thorn-crowned, crucified, the spotless one made sin for thee. O sinner, haste, for refuge flee. He saves, and for eternity. We'll rise together as we sing this hymn, 360.
Once saved, now lives in heaven.
Again for coming this evening for the preaching of the gospel, and we'll just open with a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee for the gospel of salvation. We thank thee for the free gift of grace that is offered on account of the blood that was shed at Calvary by thy beloved Son. We thank thee for his sacrifice, his death on our behalf, and we thank thee that though we find ourselves in peril, with nothing to offer before thee, and no merit of our own, and no standing at all in the presence of a holy God for all of eternity, we thank thee that there is a full and a free salvation, freely available to all who will put their trust in the one who loved them and gave himself for them. We pray, our Father, tonight for help in the preaching of the gospel. Help us to be clear and plain as we present the need and the urgency of salvation. We pray that each one will consider their ways and be wise as they contemplate these things and make a decision, as they must do, with what they shall do with Christ, with Jesus, who is called Christ. We pray that thou wouldst help each one to understand. We pray that thou wouldst help the speaker to explain. And we pray that there would be those here tonight who put their trust in him and know the joy of God's salvation. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Now again, welcome, and welcome to those who are online as well. We don't see you, but we remember you're there, and thank you for taking the time to log on. Now I have a couple of announcements just for this week. On Thursday, we have the prayer meeting and the Bible reading at 7:45. We're continuing in 1 Peter chapter 4 from verse 7. From verse 7 to verse 19. And then the meetings next Lord's Day, Sunday, the breaking of bread, where we remember the Lord at 11 a.m. The final Sunday school and Bible class of the season, that will be the Sunday school prize giving. So if you're a Sunday school scholar, make sure you get to that one, most certainly, at 3 p.m. next Sunday. The prayer meeting at 6:30. And the gospel meeting again at 7. Next week, we expect the speakers to be our brothers Jonathan Redpath from Blairy and Joel Trimble from Lock Road. And you're welcomed to those meetings, subject to the will of the Lord. Now we're going to turn to a book in the Old Testament tonight. We're going to turn to a book called Proverbs. Now, if you open your Bibles in the very middle, you might find yourself in the Psalms. You might know the Psalms. If you turn just one book after that, you'll find yourselves in the Proverbs. And we're going to read a few portions. We're going to start in chapter 9. Proverbs and chapter 9. Here's a verse worth remembering, especially for those who are younger. Commit this to your mind. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're going to speak a little bit about wisdom tonight, what it means to be wise, and how you could be wise in your response to the gospel. I want you to turn back with me to chapter 3 of Proverbs. Chapter 3 of Proverbs. It's a good thing to be wise. And the book of Proverbs is all concerned with telling us how to be wise and why bother being wise. We're going to read about that. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. "Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain of it is better than fine gold. She, that is wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Great things said about wisdom, about having wisdom. Wisdom is worth having more than anything that could be desired. Finally, just look your eyes up the chapter a little bit. Chapter 3 still. And verse 5. Trust. In a gospel meeting, we often speak about believing. We speak about having faith. Another word we can use is trust. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And we pray the Lord would bless the reading of his word. We spoke about wisdom. You know, we have a number of young people who come to the gospel meeting like this. And the question for some of the young folks is really, that I want to pose tonight is, what kind of a person do you want to be? You are in the process of growing up, and you are learning things, and you are doing things, and you are becoming someone. You are becoming, one day, God willing, if the Lord spares you, and he has not come, an adult. What kind of a person will you be? For the adults, for those who are older, perhaps with us, I'd maybe just frame the question a little differently. What would you like to be remembered for being? What matters as you consider your legacy and who you are? What is worth having to you? What is worth being known for? You know, some of these young ones, maybe you think about the future. I hope you think about the future. It's good to think about the future. It's good to think about what's coming next and where you're going. And maybe you think, when you think about who you want to be, maybe you've got all kinds of ideas. Maybe you'd like to be very skilled at something. You'd like to be a great footballer. Maybe a basketball player. Maybe you'd love to be really good at playing instruments. Guitar. On the drums. Maybe you would love to be great at sewing. Or painting. Maybe you have some great plan for your education. Maybe you would like to study something. And maybe get some particular kind of job. Maybe you'd like to go into the family business. You'd like to be known as a hard worker. That's what you would like to become. Maybe you would like to be someone who's very wealthy. Or very popular with people and have lots of friends. Maybe you'd like to be someone who's famous and stirs up the media and gets your face on all the newspapers and the TV shows. But what we've read tonight is that there is something to be desired. Something that you ought to be considering, and it is wisdom that is more precious than anything else you could have. Have you ever imagined, as you think about what it is worth being, have you ever desired to be wise? Would you like to be someone who is wise? Maybe you're picturing an old man. And he speaks in riddles, and he strokes his beard, and he's just a bit goofy and strange and weird. But wisdom is something very ordinary. It's something very everyday. You know, wisdom is just about being able to make good decisions in life and with your life. To be wise means to be able to look a little bit ahead. Think a little bit about the future and make the right decision. Which path am I going to go? Which friends will I hang with? What will I do with school? Will I stay at school? Will I skip school? Where will I work? What will I do? Who will I be with? Where will I live? Decisions, choices, big things. And they require us to be wise if we're going to get them right. We've read a portion of the scripture that's very important tonight, as it tells us about wisdom and how valuable it is and how important it is to make sure that before you get rich or popular or skilled or learned or whatever it is, you need to get wise. It tells us where we start with being wise. How does a person become wise? And the passage we've read tonight, it tells us it starts with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to have any hope of making the right decision with regards to your future and your life, you're going to have to start with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You say, why do I have to bother with God? There are loads of people out there and they seem very successful and they've done great things for themselves and they have no thought about God. They don't know anything about God. They don't care about God. The closest they come to anything about God is to curse and to swear with his name. And yet, aren't they doing well for themselves? Why start with God if we would make the right decisions for our future, for the life that is ahead? Because the wise man realizes this, that God is the one in control. We can plan it all out. We can have our dreams and our goals, and we can say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I want to be this. And you know, none of it could happen. It could all fall apart. Many people make plans and dreams and have hopes, and they get shattered, and they come to nothing. If we would be wise, we have to start with the one who is in control of all things. God is in control. God knows the future as well as he knows the past. And he knows you. And he knows the path you could take. And he can tell you where your paths might take you in this life. God is the one in control. God is the one who is good. You know, we live in a world that is deeply tainted by sin. It is full of evil. And if we do not start with God, we'll hardly know right from wrong. We'll be left to our opinions and our arguments and our debates, and we'll have no knowledge of the right and the good which is found in God. Why should we start with God as we think about the future, as we think about the decisions that lie ahead of us with regards to our life? Not just because God is in control and can tell us where the path will lead. God is the one that we have to meet at the end of it. Doesn't matter which path we take, which decisions we go with, where we work or where we live, they all converge and they all end up facing God. He's at the end and he's the one we have to meet. You know, the wise man plans for the future. And he doesn't just plan for tomorrow or next year or the next 10 years. The wise man plans for eternity. The wise man looks all the way ahead and he says, where shall I be when my body is in the grave? Where am I? If you want to be wise, If you want to make the right decision for the direction of your life, you need to look right ahead. You need to be focused at the very end and say, where will you spend eternity? Forever and forever. It is heaven or it is hell. Which will it be? Do you know where you will be? How do you know you will be there? If you are wise, you will start with God. What do we do with God as we start with Him? It tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Especially to the young boys and girls, I say, if you want to be wise as you scope out the future of your life and eternity, you need to learn to fear the Lord. Say, what does that mean? God is the one who holds your life in His hands. God is the one who made you. God is the one who gives you breath. God is the one who commands of you how you ought to live and to please Him. And if you would be wise, you would start by giving Him His due place and priority. Do you care what God thinks? Do you care what God has to say? When you come to a gospel meeting and the preacher seeks to open the scriptures and tell you what God has done for you and what God requests of you, do you listen? Do you care? Do you take it seriously? God takes it seriously. God is serious about your business. God is serious about your life, about your future, about your soul. Would you be serious about it? Or would you treat God carelessly, lightly, flippantly, negligently? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If wisdom starts with God, where does it end? I want to be wise. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know the direction that I'm heading. And I'm going to start with God. I'm going to think about who He is. God over all. The one who in whose hand my breath is. The one who commands of me to live in holiness. The one who is holy. The one who hates sin. I'm going to start there. Where do I go from there? We've read about it, although it didn't say the end of wisdom. The start of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. I'll tell you this, the end of wisdom is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. The end of wisdom is not this great achievement whereby we say, I've made it, and I've accomplished so much, and I figured it all out, and I understand how the stock markets work, and I can predict how to make sure my money lasts, and I can get the best medical care. No, the end of wisdom is when we come to an end of ourselves and we say, God, Your will be done. You can do with me as You please, but You have said that there is a way of salvation. You have said that because Christ died on the cross of Calvary, my sins can be forgiven and I can have a home secured for me in heaven forever and forever. God, I take You at Your word. The wise man is not the billionaire or the great inventor or the clever clogs or the smarty pants. The wise man is the one who falls down before God and says, I trust You. I trust the word that you have spoken. I trust the salvation that you have provided. You know the gospel, don't you? All who are here. The gospel is this. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen. That is God's plan of your salvation. God has moved in history. He has acted on your behalf. And now he says, so what? So trust. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The wise man hears the word of God and he stops at that and he trusts it for his life, for his death, and for his eternity. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Many people are tripped up because they're trying to figure it all out themselves. They're trying to think about how they can deal with their own problem of sin, how they can make themselves ready to meet God. It says, be not wise in your own eyes. Do not be carried away with all your fancy ideas and inventions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The one who says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You know, the Lord Jesus himself, the one who came from heaven, he became a man, a real human being. He was God, but he became a real man, a real human being like you and I. And he modeled for us a life of perfect wisdom, perfect faith. You know what we see at the end of his life? As wicked people took him, and they struck him and they mocked him and they took him to the cross. Do you know what a wise man like the Lord Jesus did? When he suffered, he did not threaten them. When they reviled him, he did not start mocking them back. He did not lash out. Did not attack. He did not insult. You know what he did do? He committed himself to him that judges righteously. There, on the cusp of death and mockery and shame, the Lord Jesus Christ could say, not my will, but thine be done. He just took full confidence in his Father in heaven. He knew it was his plan of salvation. He knew it was God's design. He knew what was ahead of him, but he knew that God was over all. God was the one who was in control. God was the one who had purposed this way of salvation. And God was the one he was going to return to again, risen from the grave, alive forevermore. Lord Jesus Christ, perfect man, the one who was wise, he committed himself to him that judges righteously. He did not take it upon himself. He trusted in the Lord, and the Lord delivered him. Are you greater than the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you seek to undermine the one who was wisest of all? If you would be wise, do as he did. Commit your soul to him who judges righteously. Put your trust in the one who is over all and holds your life in his hands. Put your trust in the one who has gone to such lengths and depths to provide for you a salvation, a sacrifice for sins in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in his word, his promise of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We trust that these words would be a help and a challenge, and that you would take them seriously. More important than anything else in your life is that you would be wise. That is, that you would consider carefully the path of your life, the future that lies ahead, all the way out to eternity, whenever it may come. We pray that you would be wise in this way, that you would trust in the Lord, in what He has done for you, and in the promise He has made. He is able to save you, take you as you are, and your sins might all be forgiven, and heaven could be your home. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the wisdom of Thy plan of salvation. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast struck down all the great efforts and accomplishments and energies and ideas of men, and Thou hast presented to mankind a way of salvation that calls upon us simply to fall down and to trust in what Thou hast done on our behalf. We thank Thee that there was one who laid down His life for us. We thank Thee there was one who lives again as a risen Savior. And we pray, our Father, that some of those with us tonight might be exercised to be wise about this, to be wise about their own soul, to begin with God, to fear the Lord. And we pray, our Father, that they would come simply to know that they need to only trust Thee now. We pray that they might do so and know the joy of security and safety, of sins forgiven for all of eternity. Pray this in His blessed name. Amen. Now we'll sing another hymn as we part. 380. 380. Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thine heart. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Verse 3, the world has nothing left for thee. It has no new, no pure delight. Oh, try the joys that Christ can give. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Verse 5, our blessed Lord refuses none who would to Him their souls unite. Then be the great transaction done. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? Now, maybe for the sake of time, we'll just sing those three verses that I've read, verses 1, 3, and 5 with the chorus, and we'll keep our seats as we sing, 380.
Oh, dear, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Be saved by not in us.